Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 163, Supernatural Faith. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on December 13th, 2020.
Illustration with Mike's car wash, because she pretty much thinks that's chaos, and she hates it every time I drive through that place. But if you want to really have some excitement in Mike's, just put it in drive when you're about halfway through and see what happens. You can add some excitement to your day. It'd be a new move of God in Mike's, you know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, it's fun to be saved. Amen. It's fun to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Dance for the Lord. Praise God. So I don't know about you, but I think you're in the right place here today. Glory to God. Welcome to you guys on Facebook Live in Pajama Land. I wish you were here, but you're not. So I'm sorry for you, but praise God, we're having fun. So I hope you can dance at home in your pajamas. So it's good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we can't even see it, so it's all right. It's great. I got a Christmas card from a sister in the Lord, and just sending a gift. And she was talking about her work experience in 2021. You know how everybody's working from home and all that kind of stuff, and how she's learning Zoom and how it's been a blessing to learn this new technology and whatever. And she just mentioned as a kind of a byline, but she said, "I really didn't need to see all the pajama patterns." So I guess there's some stuff going on out there in the workplace these days. But praise the Lord, Jesus is still on the throne. Amen? Glory to God. Well, that has nothing to do with the message. I guess I didn't probably really have to preach this morning. I mean, Rivka just did a great job. Amen?
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. So keep preaching, sister. It's good. Praise the Lord. So I want to talk to you about supernatural faith today. Faith is something that we're going to need coming into 2021, in case you didn't know that. But some of these things would be really elementary to many of you. But, you know, the Bible says that we should stir up these things, and we should keep, Peter says we should keep reminding ourselves of the principles of God so that we can be prepared for the things that are ahead. So I think it's good to come back to some basics and some foundational things to entrench them in our hearts and our lives. It's part of what Rivka was talking about in just a little while ago. You just cannot coast. You cannot stay in neutral. You have to keep feeding yourself. My pastor used to end his television programs, Dr. Lester Summerall used to end his television programs, "Feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. Let them die." But if you don't keep feeding your faith, you're going to be in neutral. And if you're going to be in neutral, you're going to reap some of the disaster that Rivka was talking about a few minutes ago. So we need to keep revving it up. We need to keep the car in drive and keep going forward. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Dr. Summerall said, "I wish my car didn't have a reverse. I don't like to back up going anywhere." So let's go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know how you get out of parking places without a reverse, but I guess there could be a way. Jesus can make the way. Amen. So I guess maybe the message is don't stay parked. Get out there and go. Jesus didn't stay set. He said go. Go to the nations with the gospel and preach that gospel and let the Lord work with you, confirming the word with signs following. So there's quite a number of kinds of faith. It's not an overwhelming number, but everybody, saved, unsaved, believers, non-believers alike, have what we would probably call a human faith, a natural kind of faith. I saw most of you stand up and sit down, and the majority of you were not checking the chair to see if it would hold you. You have faith that when you sit down, the chair is going to hold you up. That's human natural faith. Just, you know, it's birthed and born out of experience. And, we learn things as we're growing up, things to stay away from, things to do, things that work, things that don't work. You learn not to touch the stove because it's hot, not because mama said it's hot, because it really is hot. So we learned some things by accident. We learned some things by rebelling against the system, rebelling against the laws of nature. And we learned other things by studying and growing in things that we can intellectually get a hold of. But when it comes to supernatural faith, there's only one way that you can get it. It comes from God. And you have to find the way to get to receive your faith, the way to grow your faith, the way to build your faith, if you're going to face the things that are ahead successfully. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God says to Joshua, be strong and be of good courage. Don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. He said, I'm going to be with you. And then he said, this book of the law, this word, shall not depart from your eyes, but you shall keep it in your heart. And that way you'll make your way prosperous and you'll make your way successful. I think it's an interesting scripture because it kind of counters, you know, there's people that say, well, God is sovereign. He'll do whatever he wants to do. He can do anything. He will do everything. It's true in a sense because God is big, God is great, and God is all-powerful, but there are some things he cannot do. For example, the Bible says that it's his will for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, but God cannot make you get saved because he created you with a free will, and so you make choices in your life. Some of you have family members you've been praying for years or for days or weeks or months that have strayed from the things of God or have rejected the things of God, and you're praying for them and believing God and interceding for them. You're standing in the gap and you're pulling up the hedge around them, but neither you nor God will make them get saved. One day they have to open their heart and they need to believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. They need to begin to confess with their mouth his lordship. And that day, they'll come into the kingdom of God. They'll go from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. They'll receive forgiveness of sins. They'll receive an inheritance with those who are sanctified through faith in Christ Jesus. But until that time, until that moment, when their heart is open to the things of God, nothing's happening. And God's not going to make them, even though he's a sovereign God and he's all-powerful. So somewhere in there, it has to do with faith. It has to do with believing. It has to do with confessing the Lord Jesus. And we want to talk about some of those things this morning. Create the world to be dark for them. He created it to be light, just like sighted people see. But think what it would be to lose some of your senses. But we grow up in the world just... We just learn through our physical senses. So we're most familiar with that. And so when it comes to spiritual things, many times we just back up and we just think, you know, just I don't understand this. You know, it just is mystical. It's a mystery to me. I don't know how those people that have that can do that and believe that and get those kind of results. Must work for some people. It's not working for me. And so people get discouraged and they drop off and they go away, but you don't have to. You know, you can get into the principles of faith and you can learn how to appropriate it for yourself, how to get it for yourself. Amen? Amen. So whether you're out there in Facebook Live and or whether you're here in the congregation, I want to encourage you that God has a way for you. His way is mapped out in the roadmap called his word, the Bible. I know a lot of us, you know, use our electronic devices to find the Bible instead of having a book I can hold up. You know, I can still hold my iPad, but there's a lot of junk in there too, you know, that you can access with your media. Sarah has a real book there, so praise the Lord. The nice thing about that is you can write in it, you can mark it, you can highlight it. It's a little, you can do that same stuff, you know, with your devices. But it's probably a little bit of a hassle, you know, so you don't do it. But, you know, I have four or five Bibles that I grew up in the faith with, and some of them, everything is highlighted. I mean, you just, it was all good, you know, at one point, you know, it just hit me, you know, and so sometimes whole chapters are highlighted, underlined, and outlined, and notes in the margin and whatever. So those days seem to be gone forever with the advent of electronics. You know, I'm not against advancing technology. I'm not against you know, accessing and using what's available to us, but it can be a problem. So just use what God has made available to you, and let God bless you in the Word of God and grow in the things of God. But faith that believes with the heart rather than our physical senses is supernatural faith. Those things that your physical senses tell you sometimes contradict what the Word of God says. And when that's happening, you have to know how to respond to that. You have to know what to do and how to navigate in that kind of a system where those kinds of things are coming against you to chip away at your faith. Faith, in other words, is grasping the unrealities of hope and bringing them into the realm of reality. So God wants to bring into your life the things that you need that pertain to life and godliness. He wants to perfect in you the things of God so that you can grow in the Lord and grow in the power of His might, so you can not be distracted by the things of the world, not be distracted by what your flesh is telling you, not be distracted by things Satan might be trying to influence you with, but that you can go straight forward. You know, you can stay on the beltway of the Mike's car wash and come out the other end in drive and drive away, you know, clean and ready to face the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that kind of faith, that kind of supernatural faith, only grows out of the Word of God. So somehow those words on the page or those words in your device need to be more than just words on a page or words in a device. Those words need to become alive inside of you, inspiring not just inspiring you in your faith, but actually releasing the power of faith on the inside of you. Because faith is a force, and it has a tremendous effect. And it will get tremendous results, but it will only get those kind of results if it's actually working on the inside of you. If your faith is just in your head, you're sunk before you start. But I'm not saying you don't process these things with your mind, but your faith has to drop from your mental and your intellectual place of reception into your heart, where it actually becomes a force within you that is then expressed with your mouth and with your actions that really releases it to do the powerful things that it can do. So we'll talk about a couple of those things. But I want to take you to a story in the Bible just to that perhaps illustrates some of these things. It's interesting that this kind of supernatural faith is a faith that can be seen. It actually can be perceived outside of the person who has the faith. So let's go to Mark chapter 2, and it's the story of Jesus in his hometown of Capernaum, his second home. Actually, his first home, he was born in Nazareth, and then when he started his ministry, evidently, or sometime before that, he moved to the city of Capernaum. It's on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful place. It's an amazing place to visit because you can look from where Capernaum was, you can look out over the Sea of Galilee, and it's one of the most beautiful views that you could ever have. The mountain where Jesus preached the Beatitudes, the blessings, is nearby. It's another fantastic place with a beautiful scene of the Sea of Galilee. This is where Jesus moved. I guess he liked the scenic things that he and the Father and the Holy Spirit created, you know, when they created this earth. But it's one of the beautiful spots in the world. So verse 1 says he entered Capernaum after some days, and as it was heard that he was in the house, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. So you can get the picture. This was house church, I guess. This was his home. This was his house. Maybe that's why he wasn't so upset when the people tore the roof off, you know, and some owners would be a little upset. But people couldn't get near him, not even near the door. Can you just imagine that? My pastor went to Riga. No, this meeting was in Lithuania, I think. late 80s to preach there. I think it was 1989. It was before the walls of communism came down. And they drove for hours out into the country because in those days, the meetings had to be covert meetings. They didn't announce their meetings to anybody, and they didn't tell anybody where the meetings were. People just had to hear from the Holy Spirit where to get to, how to get to the meeting. So in America, if people had to listen to the Holy Spirit how to get to the meeting, I mean, they can't even find the meeting when it's announced and when it's put on Facebook and when it's put in Twitter and whatever place you want to advertise it. People still don't find the meeting. But in those days, under persecution, they had to find the meeting by hearing from God. So think about this, just as a side thought. If the Holy Spirit could show those people how to get to the meeting, think what He could do for you if you heard His voice. Amen? So He gets out to this house. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It's in the country. And there's a chicken coop kind of thing built onto the house. And there's people in the house. There's people in the chicken coop. There's people outside of the house. There's people looking in the windows of the house. This is in the middle of winter. It's cold. There's no heat in the house from a furnace. But there's heat in the house because from the door to the platform, the little platform they had, there were people wall to wall. You could not get another person inside of the house. And so to get him to the front where he could speak, one person had to pull him, another person had to push him to push through the people that were inside of the house. It was so packed. It was so warm in there from body heat that they were passing little cups of water over the head to the people who were expiring so that they could not faint while waiting for the meeting to start. And they had been there for some time praying before they arrived to speak. And they said, the people who were with him said, that if you lifted your foot, many times you could not put your foot back down because there were too many people pressed into the room. Now that's a house church, right? Praise the Lord. So I think we're going to see those days again. I believe it. I believe when people will be so hungry for the Word of God that nothing will stop them from receiving the Word of God. And I think we'll see some days like that when places are jam-packed. I know that's against all the COVID rules and social distancing and masking and all of that stuff. But nonetheless, God is still on the throne.
Amen.
And it's His will for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So he's ready and wanting to do some great things, whether people are ready for it or not. Amen. So anyway, back to this story here. It says they came to him. Back it up just a piece there. After they gathered together, there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And it says, and he preached the word to them. Just kind of file that in the back of your mind for the moment. He preached the word to him. This is because this is key and central to what we're talking about this morning. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Now look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, your son, your sins be forgiven you. When he saw their faith. When he saw their faith. Did you know your faith can be seen?
Yes. Yeah.
People can see your faith. People can perceive your faith with their five physical senses. When he saw their faith. Well, maybe it was beyond their five physical senses. Jesus perceived their faith inside. He could see inside of the situation. And when you're a believer and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you can perceive a lot of things that other people are not perceiving. Sometimes those things that you're perceiving are frightening. Sometimes they're joyful things because the Holy Spirit is just showing you things. But He wants to come into your life in such a way that you're not the uninformed, ignorant person that's just walking the streets wondering what's going to happen next and saying, "What's up, brother?" You're the person that's just seeing and perceiving the things around you in a different way because you're walking with and living with a supernatural vision, a supernatural impression, supernatural things that God is doing inside of you. So that's what God created us to be. When He created Adam and Eve, He created them in His own image. And His own image was good. And when He looked at His creation, everything He created, He said, "It's good." Everything was good. Everything was perfect. So that's what He created you to be. That's who He created you to be. And the only way that you can be restored to that since the time that Adam and Eve fell into sin is to come to God in a way that opens your heart to Him and His heart to you. And now He's downloading Himself inside of you in such a way that that connection is restored. The connection that Adam and Eve lost in the garden when they partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that is restored through the power of the Holy Spirit when He comes inside of you and lives in you and begins to manifest the things of God inside of you. But none of that will happen without the force of faith going into effect. You will never receive any of that kind of thing unless you walk by faith and not by sight, as the Bible says. When it says that walk by faith and not by sight, it means walk by faith and not by what you perceive with your five physical senses. You see, most of the people in the world, they're just led by their senses. And, you know, their best thinking got them to the place they are. And in a lot of cases, that's not a very good place. Because some of us were in some very bad places when Jesus finally got into our lives and somebody gave the gospel to us, and then we came to Jesus, and then we went from darkness to light and began to see again. If your best thinking isn't getting you to where you really want to go with your life, then you need to make some changes. And those changes can be powerful and positive if you'll let Jesus come and rule in your life. Now, I'm not pretending that I do this perfectly or that any of us here are perfect and, you know, all the rest of the people are just crazy nuts, because we're all learning and growing in this, and none of us have arrived. I haven't arrived. You haven't arrived. We're all reaching for the glory of God. The Bible says that we should be transformed from glory to glory. That means His glory should be ever increasing in our lives. Now, we can do stuff that either helps that or we can do stuff that hinders that. And, of course, there's a fight going on. And so a lot of times we find ourselves doing things that hinders it instead of things that helps it to grow. And so we fight against that. Rivka was sharing, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness, against wicked spirits in the heavenly places. They all want you to fail. They all want you to fall. And so there's some pressure, there's some things working against you walking with God. There's some things working against our nation coming to God. There's some things working against the people who govern our nation coming to God. But none of those things are impossible with God, because with God all things are possible. Amen. And He says all things are possible to him that believes. So that's why faith is important. It's important for people of faith to come up and stand in their place in this nation, in this time, in this hour, and be who God called you to be. That's why we're talking about these principles. If you don't get the elementary principles working in your life, then you're lost. You're stopped before you start. So don't despair of where you are. Just think about where you can be when you grow in the things of God. So we and the leadership in this church, we have one goal in our lives, and that's to build you up, to edify you, and to equip you for the work of the ministry. So you said, "Well, I don't want to be in the ministry." I'm sorry, you're in the wrong place then. Because if you're here and you're watching us on Facebook live stream, you're called into the ministry, and God wants to use you in a mighty way. So you might as well just accept it. Just say, "Yes, Jesus."
Amen.
Where do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Here am I. Send me. You might as well just surrender now. Because the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So to happen sooner or later is better to happen sooner.
Amen.
You might as well make that decision right now. I'm going to be engaged. I'm going to be all in. I'm not going to be half-baked. I'm not going to be, you know, just hanging around the edge of revival, hanging around the edge of the move of God. I'm going to be in the middle of it. So,
amen.
Praise the
Hallelujah.
Lord. So get your dancing shoes on because Rivka's coming back next week. And I can assure you she's not going to calm down.
Amen. Fire.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, hallelujah. Well, let's get back to the story here. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts, saying, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And I want to just interject something there. Whenever you take steps of faith, there are always going to be some religious people around you who are going to try to discourage you. I mean, you can be right on in the center of the gospel, right on in the will of God, right on just doing what God wants you to, what He's spoken to your heart, and there will be some religious people to discourage you. Now, that's different from people who are discipling you and mentoring you, who are trying to bring wisdom to you, because God uses that in our lives to help us navigate the rocks and the river. So every time you take a step of faith, there are some obstacles in front of you. And you have to figure out how you're going to either remove the obstacles or get around them, one of the two. Because if you don't, you're stopped. And when you're stopped, you're kind of like you're kind of like in neutral. And if you're on a hill, you'll be going backwards. Mm-hmm. Amen? So, but just recognize there's going to be some opposition to your position of faith. And first of all, you have to be sure that God's spoken to you, that you're hearing from God. Amen?
Amen.
You know, because sometimes we're moved by our emotions. Sometimes we're moved by what we see other people do that works. So, for example, Sarah's preaching on faith, you know, a few weeks ago. And you could say, I want to be like Sarah. And that's good, because the Bible said we should follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen? So it's good to want to emulate those who are walking in faith and to learn from them. But in the other sense, you're not Sarah.
Amen.
You haven't been a missionary to Argentina for 7 years. You haven't been to Cuba 3 or 4 times. You haven't been on the Navajo reservation just getting saved and having to take care of kids that have disabilities that you don't know how to handle it. And chasing them down in the field and trying to catch them and bring them back and doing everything you can in your own power, and you're just beginning in the things of faith and you don't know how to use your spiritual authority to take authority over any of it. You haven't had that experience that Sarah had when she was growing up in the things of God and coming to Jesus. So in that sense, you can't be Sarah, you can't be like her, because you've had a different experience than hers. But you can learn the principles from her, the principles of faith that helped her through all of those things and the process that what she went through. And part of that process was a rigid discipleship emphasis that the ministry that she was working with in Argentina had. It has shaped her life. Because they made her do things that she didn't want to do, that helped her develop habits that were good and conducive to faith and growing in the things of God. So many, many times we don't like those painful things in our lives because somebody is correcting us and we don't like correction, or somebody's rejecting us and we don't like rejection. And, you know, there's all kinds of feelings and emotion that go on when we're going through the process of growing in the things of God. But those things don't have to make you weaker or cause you to fail. Those things can make you stronger because you learn and you grow in the things of God. I'm just talking some practical things here, but you should recognize that there's opposition to your faith.
Yeah.
Satan will see to it, the devils, the demons around you will see to it that your faith is opposed, because he knows that if you get a hold of this thing, that you're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. And he knows that one day, if you keep on the way you're going, when he looks at you, he'll just see Jesus and he'll run with terror.
Amen.
So he tries to get you now, when you're down, when you're struggling, when you're a little bit weaker and so forth. And he tries to get you down and put you out. So Jesus says to you, why do you reason these things in your heart, which is easier to say to the paralytic? Which is easier? Just think about that. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, take up your bed and walk? So, I mean, he's just kind of throwing it in their face. I mean, it isn't just about saying. There's more to it than just saying, because, you know, anybody can say anything, right? An unbeliever could say, your sins be forgiven you. An unbeliever could say, rise, take up your bed and walk, right? Mm-hmm. And nothing would happen in either case, right?
It's true.
So, but he's just putting this out to them. He said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth. Power. So the power he's talking about is the force of faith that makes stuff happen. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that's released inside of a person who believes and is willing to speak things. So he says, he just relates it to the saying part, but underneath that, there's something happening on the inside of him. There's the force of faith that's coming out of him. He said, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Pretty audacious, right? Mm-hmm. Verse 12, immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all. So that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, I mean, these even the unbelievers in there, now they're amazed and glorifying God, saying, we never saw anything like this before. You know, if you had been in the house that day, you'd have said the same thing. I'd never seen anything like this before.
Right.
Because Jesus is amazing. Amen?
Amen.
And faith is amazing. And the power of God is amazing. But the thing about it is it's not unreachable. Because when Jesus went back to heaven, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. Now you go. It was a place, a point of transfer. A transfer of that what was within him to those who were following him. The disciples that were present that day when he went back to heaven, and all those that would follow them in the centuries and millennia that followed. So this is available to you as well. So anyway, that's a great story to review and review and review and review, because you can see in it the potential of faith, the potential, and you can see in it that your faith can be seen, and so forth and so on. And this so impacted his followers, his disciples, that they recorded it so that you and I could read this story. I mean, just think about it. You know, John says, if all the things that Jesus did were written in a book, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to cover the subject. So when they wrote some things about Jesus, they selected some things. What things would you select? You would select those things that really impacted you, right? And that's what they did. They gave eyewitness accounts of the things that impacted their lives and changed their lives of faith. So if you're wise, you will say, you know what? They did that for me. They put that story in there just for me. Because God wanted me to see something. God wants me to grow in that area. God wants me to see this and be blessed. Okay, so time is marching on. I want to get to the rest of this message. One of the things about faith is that you have to know what it is, right? So Hebrews chapter 11:1, thankfully, it has a great definition. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can say, well, that's okay. I've heard that before. There's another translation, Moffat's, that says, now, faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. Another translation says, faith is giving substance to things hoped for. Another one says, faith is the warranty deed, the thing for which we have finally hoped is at last ours. The NIV says it this way. Now faith is assurance about what we do not see. So just think about that for a moment. Just from the side of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things not the evidence of things not seen. So if you're struggling or if you have a problem, generally the answer that you or the place that you want to get to is the unseen part, right? Does that make sense? So if you're hoping for finances to pay a bill, for example, and you do not have the finances, faith can give you the assurance that when it's time to pay the bill, the money will be there. Does that make sense to you? I mean, it's not really sense, it's faith, but you have to see this in order to be able to grow in faith and to use these principles. It's an elementary principle of faith. Before you came to Jesus and you accepted him, you might have gone up in altar calls and said the sinner's prayer 1,000 times and still not been saved. But on the day that someone showed you that you must believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead and you must confess with your mouth his lordship, everything changed. Sometimes people say, well, I believe. But just believing doesn't get it. You have to confess his lordship to be saved. Amen? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Praise the Lord. So NIV says now faith is the assurance of what we do not see. What we do not see. Faith is the evidence of the things not seen. So God here is defining what faith is. If you are seeking employment or a different job, faith can give you the assurance of the job that you're hoping for. If you are looking for the manifestation of your healing, you want to see it all corrected, all fixed, all right. Faith becomes the assurance of the things you hope for. So if you don't understand that, your faith will be hindered and you'll be trying to make things work, but it won't be working for you. But if you understand that assurance, that a title deed, that all of these illustrations that they're using here to describe faith are designed so that something on inside of you will take a hold of what God has provided and bring it into your life, then you're on your way, you're on the path to receiving things from God through the power, through the force of faith. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him, because he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what that tells us is that there's something that's needed on our part, the diligently seeking him, in order to get these principles working and operating in our lives. So you have your part and God has his part. But faith, when it's working, becomes the assurance of the things you're hoping for. Does that make sense to you? I mean, are you getting this?
Yes.
I know it's like sort of elementary, but yet some see it as mysterious. I mean, faith is not a mystery. Faith is a force that was designed by God to take a hold of the promise, the things he's promised to you, to bring them into reality in your life. That's his dream for you. His dream for you, that you're not walking in fear, you're not walking in unbelief, you're not walking in lack, you're not walking in sickness, disease, weakness, infirmity. His dream for you is to be a vibrant, healthy, strong person who's helping others to get on the path. I mean, that's his dream for you. He said, well, I want to do some other things in life. Well, there isn't anything more important than his dream for you. So if you get a hold of these principles, you can walk in the middle of his dream for you. You can walk by faith and not by sight. You can walk in love and not in strife.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord. So these principles of faith and reading this in different versions sometimes can help you understand what faith is. You have to understand that for it to work with you. Now, Dr. Kenneth Hagin was probably one of the more famous people in our generation to teach faith. He was born prematurely. He describes it in some of his books, and I try to portray it as accurate, but as I could understand, his grandmother was holding him in her hand, and they thought that he was dead. And so she wrapped him in some cloth and was going to take him out and bury him in the garden in those days, in the Depression days, or pre-Depression days. That's what they did if somebody was born prematurely. So when she got to the place where she was going to bury him, she looked at him one more time, and she noticed that there was some life there. So she immediately took him back into the house and began to nurse him to health, taking an eyedropper to feed this little preemie some milk. And she nursed him back to life. But all of his childhood days and his younger years, his teenage years, he was kind of a sickly, weak kid because he had a deformed heart. He had several blood diseases, blood deficiencies, and his body just was, everything wasn't perfect. And so he was just kind of a sickly kid, weak kid, couldn't do sports, couldn't do any of those kind of things. And finally, when he was 17 years old, he was bedfast, and he was dying. And so the doctors said there was no hope for him. But while he was in this condition, he had his mother bring him the Bible, and she would have to turn the pages to the places that he wanted to read, and then he would read till he was exhausted and so forth and so on. But one of those days he came upon Mark 11, 23 and 24, and he began to see some things. It began to be revelation inside of him, and he was raised up off of that deathbed by believing that when he prayed, he received his healing, and he grabbed a hold of the bedpost and helped himself out of bed and hung there for a while, but then finally got enough strength to walk and to whatever, and he was totally healed of this condition. And then there was the aftermath, and I want to read this illustration that he gave in one of his writings for you, some of the lessons on faith that he learned from this. He said, "I learned an important lesson on faith shortly after I was raised up from the bed of affliction many years ago. I needed work, and since this was during the Depression, work was not easy to find. I was able to get a job in a nursery helping to pull up peach trees. With another boy on the other side of the tree, together we would pull up these two-year-old trees to fill orders that had come in. It was really hard work, especially since I had been bedfast for 16 months, and at this time I had been up only a few months. Every day the number of workers would be less and less, and each day someone would say to me, 'Well, I didn't think you'd make it today. You know, two or three quit yesterday.' If it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't be here,' I would answer. 'For you see, His strength is my strength. The Bible says, the Lord is the strength of my life. My life consists of the physical as well as the spiritual, and the Lord is the strength of my life.'" This was his answer to the people who said, "I didn't think you would make it." "If I had gone according to my feelings, I wouldn't have gotten out of bed. I acted upon the word because I knew what faith was. I never received any strength until I started to work. Many people want to receive and then believe that they've got it. It doesn't work that way, though. You have to believe first, and then you will receive. So I would pull myself out of bed each morning and go to work, gaining strength as I went along, trusting in God's word. Although I was the weakest and skinniest among the group of men, I was the last one to stay on the job. We may say that we know God's word is good, but we will never really know until we have acted on it and have reaped its results. Faith is giving substance to things hoped for. I went to work. I acted on God's word. I hoped for physical strength to do the work that I knew must be done. And as I acted on God's word, my faith gave substance to that which I hoped for. Hope says, I'll have it sometimes. Faith says, I have it now. That's really an important phrase. Hope says, I'll have it someday. Faith says, I have it now. So we'll talk a little bit more in just a second about speaking what's in your heart. So many people are just hoping that something will happen. And if you can't get past hope, your faith will never work for you. Faith has to become the assurance, the substance of the thing that you're hoping for, the result you're desiring. And until it does that, you know, it will never bring in the reality of God's promise for you. I mean, the promises are all good. There's hundreds of them in the Bible, and they're all there for you. But until the hope for those promises becoming reality in your life is taken hold of by faith, those promises will just be unrealities, and they'll just be kind of a fantasy land. You're just dreaming about it, but nothing's happening. So I want to interject here. You know, sometimes people see people do things or hear stories like I just related to you, and they say, well, I'm just going to do that. But you don't understand that he was basing what he did on the Word of God. He's placing an emphasis on, he understood the meaning of the Lord is the strength of my life. He didn't understand it just in his head, he had it in his heart. So somewhere along the line, he had to have meditated on that word to get it down in his heart and it become revelation to him so that he could act upon it and actually receive that strength. But you notice he said, none of it worked until he just got out there and started doing it. So there were two parts to that. The first part was getting it to be a revelation. The second part was taking actions of faith that corresponded with what he believed inside. So it's really, really important that you're sure that you have that assurance on the inside before you do the things on the outside. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't make good confessions and stuff even before it's really reality in your heart, because that's part of getting it down into your heart. I'm not saying you shouldn't take some steps of faith, but you should be sure when your steps of faith are that you're taking, that God is asking you to take those steps of faith. You should find out from God, what are the steps of faith you want me to take? Because then you won't go wrong and you won't do something that'll be hurtful to yourself and so forth and so on. So, I mean, those things are really important. And sometimes people ask us, well, shall I go to a doctor or shall I not? Well, I cannot answer that question for you because you have to know that from God. You cannot go to a doctor because somebody else didn't and you might die. You know? I'm not God. And you're not God, but God is God.
Amen.
And he knows what you need.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you need some people to help you get through some things so that you can get to the place where you can believe God and have that assurance on the inside of you.
Right.
So it's not about medicine or no medicine. It's about faith in God.
Amen.
It's about direction from God, seeing exactly what he wants you to do. So I've seen people go off of medicine, just cold turkey, and everything is fine, and they're just totally healed. I've seen other people that do medicine stage by stage and get weaned off of medicine.
Right.
I've seen people just take the medicine and get healed.
Hallelujah.
We are not against doctors, and we are not telling you what to do and how to do it. Those kinds of decisions are yours between you and God. You have to be convinced that what God has said to you and showed you is from him, And maybe you need some counsel on it. Maybe somebody needs to help you process some of that. Maybe somebody that's been through something similar, or, you know, I'm not suggesting how you should run your life, but I mean, it's just, these are realities. I mean, these are realities that people who have issues, struggles, deal with. Mm-hmm. It's your faith will be challenged either way, whether you go to the doctor or don't go to the doctor. True. There'll be people around you that, you know, will discourage you. And, you know, it's, you just have to decide, am I going to be moved by the things I see, or am I going to be moved by the Word of God? Amen. But the key principle that I want you to be sure to get is that your faith comes from the Word of God, not from what somebody else said, not by somebody else's experience, not by what somebody else did. It doesn't work that way. You have to get the Word for yourself. You have to get it in your heart, because we're talking about supernatural faith that comes from the heart. And that's where the Word of God has effect in your life. Now, you say, well, how did it work for you? It doesn't matter how it worked for me. I can tell you, Pastor Karen and I learned some things the hard way. We don't recommend those ways. We could tell you a lot of things not to do. But you have your own path.
That's true.
And you have to walk your own path, and you have to live your own life. And you have to find your way with God. But thankfully, the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want.
Amen.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He makes me to walk in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because He is with me. His rod and staff, His word and His spirit, they comfort me. You have to live there in that place. Everybody has to live in that place, because it's a walk with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So the first point was, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Just quickly go to the second one here. Faith is available to everybody who will hear the Word of God. Romans chapter 10. I mean, this is important. Sometimes people think, well, it works for pastor. It doesn't work for me. It must not be for me. It's crazy. It's for you. Faith is available to all who hear the Word of God. Romans 10:15 says, how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So I want to encourage those of you who are taking good news out there. You got beautiful feet. Praise the Lord. 16. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. Now here's a reality. Sometimes you take good news, people don't receive it. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed the message? Or some translation says, who has believed our report? Consequently, verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. That's where faith comes from. That's where it emanates from. It's available to everybody who will hear the word. But that's where it comes from. If you don't understand that's where it comes from, you'll be trying to get people to pray for you and say, pray for me so that I get faith. It's not going to work.
Right.
We can lay hands on you till you go bald and you're not going to receive faith.
That's right.
We can rub you down with oil and you're not going to receive faith.
Right.
We can kick you in the behind and you're not going to receive faith. We can urge you and cajole you and pity you and surround you with mercy and love, and you're not going to get faith. Faith comes to you by hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
So if you don't want to hear the Word of God, I'm sorry to tell you, you probably are not going to be a great person of faith, because that's the only way that you can get it. It's the Bible way that you get it. So I know we're Americans, we're in the United States of Independence, so we want to do it our way. But just check it up and see how your way has worked.
Right.
If your way is not working, here's the way.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. Some folks, they hear the Word, and then there are some folks that hear the Word. So you can hear the word in here in these 2 ears, but until you hear it down here, where you get revelation, is what he's talking about. Faith comes from getting revelation of the Word of God down inside of you. Now that takes some work, it takes some discipline. You have to crack the book. Mm-hmm. You have to meditate on the Word. You know, it takes some time. But think about the alternatives. Stay sick. Stay broke.
Okay.
Stay torn up. Stay anxious. Stay depressed. Stay fearful. It's a choice.
It's true.
The way to get out of that is to get in the Word of God and get it in your heart.
Amen.
Even though faith is available to everybody, not everybody benefits from it. There's a process that takes place. Let's look at Romans 10, 9 and 10 again. Verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It's with the heart that you believe. It's with your heart that you believe. And that's why you have to get in the process of getting the Word inside of you. So Paul says that faith, supernatural faith, it's birthed in the heart of a person, not in the mind of a person. And this is what trips up a lot of people. You know, they got it in their mind. They can quote you some scriptures, and they tell you that they believe, but it hasn't gotten from their mind to their heart. So it's a process. But don't despair. It works. If you will persist, you will get it in your heart, and it'll work for you. Now, will you have some setbacks and some hiccups and some problems along the way? Probably. I mean, it happens. Because, you know, not everybody's happy about you being a safe person. Not everybody's happy that you jump and dance and sing and pray in tongues and shout. But it's life, okay? So, this is the reason that a lot of people struggle with faith. Because faith is birthed in the heart of people, not in the mind of people. They may desperately need something, but they can't see it. If they listen to all the voices around, whatever faith began to rise in them is squelched. I mean, if you're listening to all the stuff and junk and all the things that other people are saying, then you have to double up on the Word, because... there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of things you can access. If they focus on the circumstances, faith dies a premature death. If you keep looking, you know, what do sick people talk about that have been chronically ill? They talk about their sickness,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you got to get them out of talking about their sickness and talking about what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Amen? But if you focus on your dire circumstances, faith will die. Because your circumstances squelch the power and the force of faith. But if you focus on what God's Word says, faith takes root and begins to grow. That's why we're saying get in the Word till you're tired of hearing it. But supernatural, God wants everybody to be saved, for example, but not everybody gets saved because not everybody will receive the Word of God. Some people reject it. And when they're rejecting it, they're not going to get saved. But one day, I'm not saying don't intercede for people. We're supposed to stand in the gap, pull up the hedge, and all of those things, and pray. You know, my suggestion is pray the Ephesians prayer over them, that God will open the eyes of their understanding, and so forth and so on, so that they can see. And then help them by being available when the right time is for them, for that seed to take root and grow. Okay, so... supernatural faith is available to everybody, but it's not a mind game. Something has to happen in your heart. That's the bottom line of it. The final point is supernatural faith has a declaration. If you go back to Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, just for a second again, verse 10 says, it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and be saved. So you can believe in your heart but not confess anything with your mouth, and you're still not saved. You know, some people go and make the altar call. They say the sinner's prayer. They don't believe anything. They just said the sinner's prayer because somebody said, say this. And then at the end of saying this, that the person who's leading them to say that will say, see, now you're saved. Not necessarily. If they didn't believe in their heart and they're not confessing Jesus is Lord, they're not saved. You can wish they would be saved, You can hope they will be saved. But if nothing happened in here, and it wasn't translated into here, it's not there. It didn't happen. Hallelujah for altar calls. So supernatural faith has a declaration. With your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. Mark 11:23 says, "For assuredly," these are the words of Jesus, not my words, "for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, a lot of people are having what they say, but the reason is that they don't like it is because they're saying the wrong things.
Right.
Well, if flu comes around, I'll be the first to get it. Yep, probably so. If anybody gets fired at this place, it'll be me. Yeah, probably so. When the layoff comes, I'll be the first one to be laid off. Yep, probably so. You're believing it in your heart, you're confessing it with your mouth, and it'll come to pass. Negative and positive comes to pass because life and death are in the power of the tongue. Your words create what you're living in. Most of us don't realize, but the way we're living today is a result of how we've been speaking yesterday, and the day before, and the month before, and the year before. So you can change that by changing what you believe and what you say, but otherwise you're just going to keep living in it. So, heart faith, then Jesus says in verse 24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." So the time to believe is when you pray, not after you see something happen. This is what Jesus said. This is what he taught. If you want to get it, I shouldn't say it that way. You know, we have an expression in America. We say the horse's mouth. Jesus wasn't a horse, but you get the picture. This is the original Jesus. This is the rabbi. This is the Lord that we follow. He said, "I'm saying to you, if you will pray, if you will believe when you pray, you will receive it. You will have it. When you pray, believe. Not after you prayed. When you pray, believe that you receive it and you will have it." It's a principle of faith. He says, whatever you say to the mountain, be removed, it'll work for you. Why? Because you believed in your heart. You're not doubting in your heart. You're believing in your heart. And you're speaking your faith with your mouth. Okay, so you said it, so you believed it, and you said it, and it didn't happen the first time. You can keep talking to the mountain about your God and say, "You know, mountain, you're a liar, because God said."
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to deny the symptoms that you have. You don't have to deny the problem or issue or whatever, but you do need to speak what God's word says.
Amen.
You do need to be positive about that. You do need to be powerful about what God's word says. You do need to be rough with the devil and easier on yourself. Amen?
Yes.
Just kick his, you know what. Praise the Lord with the word of God. So heart faith, not head faith, begins to declare what God says, even when it contradicts the circumstances. And here's the key to success for getting your language changed. And I'll be closing in just a few minutes here. But this is a big key. How am I going to change? You know, I've been talking this way since whenever, you know. Some of us grew up in families that talk trash all the time. So, you know, it's just natural and normal to us to just talk that way. Sometimes it takes a while to get that out of you. But here's a key. Romans 4:17 says, "It is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of God whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." So Abraham learned a principle from God. God called those things which be not as though they were. He didn't call the things which were as though they weren't. And so for just using the example of symptoms of sickness, you can say, you know, the doctor can tell you, you have this and this and this. Look at the screen. And you can say, I don't have it. But the screen says you do have it. So that's calling those things which exist as though they didn't exist. So Paul's not talking about that here when he's talking about what Abraham did. Abraham was calling those things, he was calling those things which did not exist as though they did. Okay, so what does not exist? When you get the bad report, what does not exist? It does not exist. The healing does not exist. I mean, for all practical purposes, because, you know, everything here shows that it does exist. Okay? So what do? You call the things that be not as though they were. You're calling your healing. Why? Because in Isaiah 53, it says, in verse 5, 4 and 5, it says, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. By his stripes you were healed. So when I'm saying I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus according to the word of God, I'm not denying the existence of some symptoms.
Right.
All right? I'm just saying what the word of God says.
Yes.
And people around you can say, yeah, but look at this, look at that, look at the other thing. They're trying to get you to focus on your circumstance,
right.
Which is exactly what doesn't help your faith. So keep going back to the Word of God and look. 1 Peter 2:24. He took our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live to righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed.
Yeah.
So look at that. Amen?
Amen.
He's blessing my Exodus, 23, 24 and 5. He's blessing my bread and water and taking sickness away from the midst of me. I believe
that.
Amen. It's a choice, okay? But you have to decide that you're going to give the report of the Lord. Verse 18 says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. This is a key. It was contrary to everything that he could see that he could have a child. But contrary to that, he believed in hope. His hope was in God, that God, what God promised he would do. So that he became a father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. He went back to what God said. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he just didn't consider the circumstance, the situation, and so forth and so on. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. When you get to that place of being fully convinced, you're at the place where faith begins to work. Amen? So I hope these things were helping you. And just quickly, what can we take away from this? First of all, knowing what faith is and what it looks like is really important. Knowing what faith is and what it looks like. There are plenty of stories in the Bible. And there are people around you who can give you illustration of what faith looks like. So look at those things. Secondly, knowing the power of faith. Faith will move mountains. Whatever mountain is in your life, whatever circumstance, situation is in your life, it has to move when you speak to it in faith. Amen? And it's not about whether it's immediate or not immediate. Amen? It's powerful. Knowing how faith is acquired is really a key. We should come away from this place today knowing how you get faith, by getting in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Amen? You know, every time the church door is open, you can be here because it's faith building. Every time cell group meets, you can be there. Why? Because it's faith building. You have media. You can access faith building materials. You can also access trash. You have a Bible. You have the Word of God. You can get it. It'll work for you. Knowing how faith works is important. You know, it's a process. Go to Mark chapter 4. Don't go to Mark chapter 4 now, but go to Mark chapter 4 and look about the seed being planted that brings a harvest. And think about, you can have a hundredfold harvest in your life if you plant good seed in good ground. But that would be a process, wouldn't it? The farmer doesn't plant his seed in the spring and then 10 days later get the combine out and take the harvest. Because something has to happen between the time the seed is planted and the time the combine comes into the field. So this may take it more than a day and a half. It may take more than 10 minutes of your life. And even if it's a lifetime quest, wouldn't it be worth it? If your life changed, if everything in your life changed, wouldn't it be worth it? So keep pressing in and keep getting the seed in the ground. Amen? Using your faith, another thing, just a sideline, faith works by love. So if you're in strife with everybody around you, it's a showstopper for your faith. So just stop now and ask God to give you the grace to love people. Amen? Using your faith to bless others is important. It's important to have the right attitude of faith. I have faith for things so that I can be a blessing to nations. I have faith that God is going to bless me to be a blessing. And finally, knowing how to increase your faith level, it's key. It's a key. How do I increase my faith level? The same way I increase my strength level by exercising. When I use my faith, I mean, they used to tell us, you know, when we were new in the faith, they said, well, before you believe for a wedding cake, why don't you believe for a cupcake? Does it make sense? Believe for your parking place. I don't know. Just find something to believe for. Maybe it's insignificant, but nothing is insignificant to God if your faith is growing. Amen? So, you know, everybody wants to get the big mountain out, you know, of course. Don't give that up. But as you're growing along the way, just pick some faith targets that, you know, where you're at. And if you don't know where you're at, just ask somebody. Where am I? Where in the world am I? They probably tell you. And they might be right too. Or for sure ask God, where am I? He knows where you are, amen. And finally, Jude verse 20 is important. Building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If you're not built up yourself, you're not going to get your faith working. So praying in the Holy Spirit takes faith because you do it by faith, right? Shakabahari masanda bakara ramashanda. I can't think of those words in my head. They come out of my heart by faith. Amen? Building yourself up. So let's pray. Father, thanks for these people. Thank you, Father, for the force of faith working in our life. And thank you, Father, for victory in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.